Hello and welcome again to Ask Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Ask Mike Radio is co-produced with Sensible Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Choice ASEC, VASEC, Real Estate, and Echo 6 Creations. Thank you very much. And my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Pair Magazine, and Fight Camp. Be your strongest combination. We just had our 250th birthday. I'm all marined up. Chesty is watching, and he's watching right now because I've got another Marine with me, and he's going to talk about his Marine Corps career. He's going to talk about what he does now in his transition story with CareSource. I want to introduce Ted Painter to Oscar Mike Radio. Ted, thank you for joining me. I'm looking forward to learning all about CareSource and you as a person and a Marine.
Thanks, Travis. I really appreciate you having me. Honored to be here, and looking forward to the discussion.
Absolutely. So before we get into all the good stuff, and it's all good, right from the beginning, you served the Marine Corps. You had a very interesting career. Just at a high level, tell the folks out there, you know, a little bit about your Marine Corps experience, what you did, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, so I've been in the Marine Corps now for a total of a little over 23 years. My first 10 years was active duty. I was a comm Marine by trade, so started out as a radio operator and humping radios, and then moved on some other communications areas and did that for quite a while. After 10 years, I transitioned to the reserves. Been in the reserves ever since, I decided to go the first sergeant major route, and now I'm currently the sergeant major of HMLA 773 up at the Joint Base McGuire Dix in Trenton, New Jersey. So, yeah, it's been an interesting path. It was my active duty time had a lot of, you know, like everybody else, a lot of ups and downs and deployments and, you know, all that good stuff. For me, I think the transitioning out period, like right at 10 years, would, you know, seem to be a good mark for me. But, you know, wanted to continue to serve while I built, you know, a civilian career. And so had the opportunity to serve in the reserve. And it's been great. It's been good for me and my family. And it's worked out pretty well.
Now, what kind of aircraft were you working with, Ted? Was it you know, transport and heavy lift aircraft? Was it the fighter aircraft for the Marine Corps? What did you work on?
Yeah, so before my role now, predominantly my whole time in the Marine Corps has been on the ground side.
Okay.
So like I said, I was a communicator, and even as a first sergeant, I was with combat engineers and landing support, and so different types of ground and C units, but this is actually my first flying squadron that I'm with now, and they fly Hueys and Cobras, which is cool. And then we've, you know, I've got a CH-53 like sister squadron right next door to us, and so on and so forth. But yeah, so I've been from a ground side perspective, you know, been with different types of ground combat units and communication battalions and things like that, but and squadrons. But yeah, so it's been a little bit of everywhere, you know, stationed in Okinawa at one point, and a couple of different places in California. And I think whether it was active duty or reserve, I couldn't get away from ITX and 29 Palms. It was like, just, you know, kept being the gift that keeps on giving, right? Spent a lot of time at 29 Palms. I've been with the squadron now for about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Getting ready to move to a new command in January in Pensacola. So that'll be interesting. But that's what I've been doing.
And while you're doing all this, you've expanded on your civilian career. You have done a lot of things, as you know, I saw on your LinkedIn profile.
Right.
One of the things you got into was, you know, healthcare and healthcare initiatives for both government and private sectors. What caused that shift in your civilian career to focus on those areas, Ted?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, when I was on active duty and I was stationed in Okinawa, I got pretty sick while I was there. Actually had to get medevac to Balboa in San Diego, and,
oh, wow.
And had a pretty severe illness and lengthy recovery. And I just was very appreciative of all the folks who, helped take care of me and treat me and get me back on my feet, and always thought about, getting in the healthcare space, but wasn't quite sure how I was going to do that, right? I wasn't going to go, back to school for that. Being a radio operator to, healthcare is not necessarily a direct, it's not a feeder MOS, right? And so, I didn't quite know how I was going to get there. And when I was transitioning off active duty, I had the opportunity, at that time, a lot of large organizations were making a big push to hire 100,000 veterans. So I was lucky enough to get a job with JP Morgan Chase as an
Wow.
IT project manager. And so I worked in the financial space for a couple of years, but it wasn't really what I was, I didn't love it. And wanted to kind of see what else I could get into. And just so happened a project manager role opened up at CareSource. And I always wanted to get into and learn more about healthcare just based on my own personal experience. Landed with CareSource about 10 years ago. I quickly learned, as a TRICARE beneficiary, I have VA benefits. I quickly saw the impact CareSource was having on their members. And I just thought to myself, man, if we could take even a percentage of what we do for people and apply it to the military veteran community, I think we could make a huge impact. And, wasn't quite sure how we would get there. But over the years, one thing has led to another. We've been very persistent. And we made it a focus to focus on military veteran programs, and here we are,
So,
getting to implement TRICARE.
speaking of here we are, kind of take us through what CareSource does, because a lot of people out there aren't going to understand what TRICARE is and how CareSource interacts with TRICARE and the veteran or service member being served, please.
So first of all, CareSource is a nonprofit government programs healthcare company. We're the largest nonprofit company of its kind. So we're in 14 states, a little over 2 million members that we serve. And we focus on government programs like Medicaid, Medicare Advantage, Marketplace, and those folks who have eligibility for Medicaid and Medicare, for example. We thought that breaking into the TRICARE space, which is managed by DoD, that we could make a difference in the military community. So we carved out a company, a subsidiary called CareSource Military and Veterans. Its focus is on federal government contracting. The opportunity for managing a TRICARE Prime health plan came available in the Atlanta area and the Tampa area. And we bid on that, and we won those two contracts. And so for those folks that are listening, TRICARE is, the military families are on TRICARE, right? So you've got active duty families, some reserve and guard have TRICARE Reserve Select. You've got retirees and, military retirees and their families that can get TRICARE as well. So they're eligible for TRICARE Prime or TRICARE Select and so on. So the folks who are eligible for TRICARE Prime and Select are eligible for what we're doing in Atlanta and Tampa. And so it takes what we do for complex populations in other spaces, and it applies it to TRICARE now to do it a little bit differently, hopefully a little bit better, and improve their experience overall.
So you're speaking of these programs where you shift in, and as I understand it, you help direct lead, to winning TRICARE demonstration bids. What made those bids successful? Because looking at your company, looking at your experience, this wasn't just a one-time thing. This represented a large shift in what you were doing with the company and the people you serve.
I think that at the end of the day, what made that successful for us is, DoD, chose us for a new kind of TRICARE. For the first time ever in Tampa, for sure, and one of only a few demonstrations in Atlanta, people can actually choose who provides their TRICARE Prime coverage. I think they saw what we we do and what we've accomplished in other government programs, and said, okay, if we're looking at what does it take to transform or make significant change in what we do, a company like CareSource can show them the way on industry best practices. Folks, their coverage won't change. It's how it will be managed. And so it's a more local feel, personal touch, increased customer experience. And so it's still a government program. It's still led by the TRICARE health plan at DOD, right, at DHA. I think the bids, they won because we took a combined deep operational readiness, but combine that with real military experience. So we got myself and the whole team is built and centered on a whole team of folks that are military spouses, veterans, retirees. And so we're taking what we know from our own personal experience combined with our healthcare experience. And that's what we applied to the bids. And I think that's why we won.
It's one thing to apply for the bids. When you implement, what you've done and what you propose, that's where the rubber hits the road. And like a lot of things, it's a good plan until you actually get contact, and then you have to adjust. And when you say bids, these bids were in Atlanta and Tampa, as I, researched. What were the challenges being in those markets? Those are two very different cities with very different demographics. How did you address those challenges as you went through this implementation, Ted?
And we're still going through that now. It's been interesting. So we were already established in Atlanta as an organization. So that helped quite a bit. But Tampa, we're not. We're brand new there. And so it's about awareness, education. That's the biggest part that I've seen as a from a challenge perspective, is just ensuring that TRICARE beneficiaries know we exist, and that they have a choice. And if they want to make a change, they got to go out there and do it. And so, by and large, for demonstrations like this, it's not going to be really put out there in a major way by DHA. And so a lot of the onus on getting the word out there is on us and for our followers and people who are helping. And so, a lot of what we've done is just grassroots approach. So we totally rethought the marketing, branding, advertising elements to this. It's been more of that kneecap to kneecap discussion, right, with families and people on the ground. And we've been a part of or hosted or sponsored over 70 events so far in both areas. We've logged thousands of conversations with actual TRICARE families in those regions. I think that's going to make the transition here hopefully a little bit easier and smoother and more personal for people, because we've been building trust in the community. Something like this, as new as this, and we're talking to military and veteran families, they're all apprehensive about change, right? And so, letting them know what we offer and that they're not going to lose any benefits. It's not going to cost them extra money, right? It's just a different approach to what they get. So that's been the biggest challenge, I think, is just awareness and education.
Well, that's the challenge anywhere, especially in formation with us young lance corporals, getting the communication going.
Just because
And
you tune us out, right? It's the end of the day. You're in formation. You want to go home. You don't care what Sergeant Major says.
well, you mean you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm having flashbacks now. I'm like, oh, it's just noise. I just gotta stand here another 30 seconds. But you still have to execute. I mean, you can have great strategy, you can have great ideas, you can have great people, but it's still about execution. And there's a pathway to do that when you're talking with people and having them understand, what you're doing. What part of your military experience and your leadership helped you succeed with these initiatives when it came to execution?
I think that to your point, I took a lot of my personal experience with TRICARE, because I've been a TRICARE beneficiary for over 20 years now. My family has too, and we've had to navigate it and learn how to work within the system and get the care we need. And we all healthcare is complicated, whether it's TRICARE or not, right? And so you get some bumps and bruises along the way on trying to figure out how to manage the system for your family. And so, what I try to do is just, use a common sense approach to what we're doing and not overthink it. I think at the end of the day, what military veteran families want is something that works. They don't want a lot of bells and whistles. They don't really care about that, at least in my experience. It's like, hey, if I call, somebody answers and you know what you're talking about and you can help me.
Right.
You pay my claims and you've got providers in your network that I need. Number one is, hey, is my doctor in your network? That's the number one concern for all these families. And making it easy for them to access that care, right? So TRICARE Prime traditionally, when you see your primary care manager, you've got to get a referral to see a specialist.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, that referral has to get approved by the government. And so that takes time sometimes, and it's not always approved. And so I think one of the big things we were able to advocate for with DHA is that there won't be any referrals for our version of TRICARE Prime. Excuse me. And so that's going to provide some easy access to care, and kind of make that a little bit more seamless for them as they're coming over the homes and just helping with that. So.
You know, you've had a long time to, work in this group. You know what TRICARE is. You know what it's like when a spouse or child needs health care and they need it now. And so you've been able to take that and expand access for care. I'm reading about this. I can't even believe this. I mean, I can, but it's really interesting how, according to what I was able to find out, almost 150,000 veterans have been affected by the programs that have been created by CareSource that you've had a hand in. And so it got me thinking about scale. I mean, it would be hard to take 150,000 people and make them, Army or Marine Corps quality in a couple of years. It would take a long time to do that. So how did you maintain, quality and communication while scaling up that big?
Yeah, and I think what you're referring to is some of the work that we did in partnership with we had a partner and that we were supporting the VA network. So a few years ago, there was a need to quickly ramp up provider networks in the East region of the VA Community Care Network. And a partner reached out to us and we had networks in some of these states. In Indiana, Ohio, and Georgia specifically. And we had a very short window to ramp up that provider network and apply it to veterans who were seeking care outside the VA. So you know how you can get referred to the community care network. And so I had experience from doing a lot of implementations at CareSource to build new markets and products, and had the knowledge from a provider network space and to ramp that up and build that out and get that in place. And to your point, I mean, we built a roughly 70,000-80,000 provider network across those three states to increase access to about 140,000-150,000 veterans in those three states, because that was going to go away if we didn't put this in place in time. And we did that in about 6 to 8 weeks. And so, when you're trying to address a gap for veterans like that, and you've got the knowledge and the resources to do it, and CareSource was 100% on board and saying like, look, we've got, these providers in these states, and we can transition them to take care of these veterans as well. And so they were great in giving me all the support I need, and I had the experience and the knowledge to drive it. And like I said, when you're trying to fill a gap for that many veterans, you're going to do whatever it takes to get that done. And so it was a really good experience. A little bit painful for that 6 to 8 weeks, but it worked out really well. And that we had that partnership for a couple years, and we were just really proud to be a part of that, expanding that access to care for those folks.
The thing is, though, Ted, and I get VA care, great care, but still,
Sure.
VA civilian TRICARE, it's its own I consider them like three-headed monsters, but they move very slow. They're very complex. It can be tough to get through the bureaucratic, overhead. So when you're dealing with that, these entities that are all separate but doing the same kind of thing, how do you maintain, morale and, keeping your team spirits high when you're trying to get all this stuff to work together and you have a very tight deadline, to say the least?
Well, hey, I mean, none of us are in this alone. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, and I've got a really great team around me. We're all marching to the same beat on this. And I mean, I think from a military and a healthcare perspective, to your point, ambiguity is sort of like comes with the job. And to your point, yeah, I mean, some, I mean, for those of us that work in healthcare, healthcare is still complex. So it's definitely it's tough. I mean, but we stay grounded in the mission, and those folks we're trying to serve. I've always told people, and it's just sort of what I've taken from the Marine Corps too. Like if you keep your Marines at the center of what you're trying to accomplish, right, and the mission at the center, and you remain grounded in that, then it always keeps everything in perspective. Right. And so, like, all the members and beneficiaries we're trying to serve in this community, whether it be TRICARE, VA, whatever the case may be, we're trying to stay grounded in that and always keep the focus on them. And when you do, it sort of keeps you moving, it keeps you going, it keeps that morale high, because the work is hard, it's tough, and the timelines are tough. Like, we're up against it right now with TRICARE. I mean, things are going well, but it's a lot of work. Tight timeline, and you gotta surround yourself with a team that shares the same values. We've got that here. Like I said before, we've got a lot of folks that have lived and breathed it themselves. And so, when there's trouble, you pivot, and there's gonna be delays and all of that, but we've never lost sight of the goal, right? Or the mission, or who we're trying to serve. So that's kind of kept us on track.
Well, just curious then, success for some businesses is hitting those sales numbers, hitting those KPIs, the share price is this, so on and so forth. I'm curious, what does success look like for CareSource and your team when you're dealing with this kind of customer base, if you will?
I mean, the cool thing about CareSource, right, is we're a nonprofit organization, so it's people over profits for us. And so we bring that perspective to this, which is a new perspective, for the government, right? And so at the end of the day, the numbers will matter, because the data's got to support what we're doing is going to make a difference. So long term, the numbers matter, but that's not the full picture, right? I mean, it's really, for me, it's the based on my own experience, it's success hinges on, a mom being able to find a provider quickly in network, get a schedule an appointment quickly with a sick kid, a retiree feeling, heard and respected because they're not part of the active duty population anymore. A kid with special needs or a chronic condition gets the care they need fast, right? They're not waiting on a referral or getting bounced around or whatever the case may be. So to me, I think at the end of the day, and for us, we're going into this knowing from a financial perspective. This is not something a lot of companies would go all in on, right? But we are, because we think we can make a di big difference. We can help transform TRICARE, and so at the end of the day, the families are getting what they need when and where and how they need it, and we're making their lives a little bit easier because their lives are hard enough, and we shouldn't contribute to that. So I think from our perspective, it's that experience and that comfort level and trust that people are going to have with us. That's what success, I think, looks like for us, especially that, me personally.
You've done all these things in your professional and military career. Is it still, are you still fueled to get up and put on your camis and go be a Marine? Are you still fueled to look at ways to, make sure that these people serving our country are taken care of? What's it like at the end of the day or end of the weekend when you're like, you know what, I did all right? I mean, does that resonate with you at all when you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, of course, 100%. I mean, that's why I still serve in the reserves. I don't have to serve in the reserves, right? I mean, I think it's for a lot of reservists, especially a lot of senior leaders, it's you're not there for the money at that point, right?
Yeah.
And it's there to take care of your Marines and I help a lot of my Marines navigate their healthcare too. I mean, it's sort of interesting how it all plays out, but yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's why I went the first sergeant route, sergeant major route, is because I enjoy taking care of Marines and their families as much as I can. And that's what sort of fuels me, for what we're doing, at CareSource Military and Veterans is at the end of the day, like I said before, the military families, the retirees and their families, like that's my focus is taking care of those people. And I, it's every day seems sort of like a fight, right, to get there. And sometimes it's tough, man. It's can be exhausting to do what we do, but that's at the end of the day, I know that that's who I'm fighting for. And so I think at the end of the day, every day and at the weekend and when I'm taking a breath, I can always look in the mirror and say, well, I've done everything I can do today or this week to make this happen. And that's sort of how that's how I keep going, right?
Fantastic. Looking ahead, where do you see the greatest opportunities for innovation in military and veterans healthcare over the next 3 years, 5 years? Because, there's the one graph line saying, hey, we have less people using the VA, but we also see where there's more veterans due to the PACT Act. It's got to change, though. I mean, the VA
Yeah.
is, and understandably so, it's the largest single healthcare provider in the United States. TRICARE takes care of millions of active duty soldiers. How is
Yeah.
healthcare going to change, do you think, in the next, 5 years to a decade?
Yeah, I mean, I think well, I don't think it needs any more process, right? Or administrative steps. I think there's plenty of that in the government and in the military. I think it's a little bit about breaking that down a little bit. It's a little bit less process and technology and more about touch, right? It's more about care coordination and care management and actually having folks dedicated to helping folks manage their care across all these different, needs. Building systems that support the whole family proactively, not reactively, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're showing can be done. I think that's what we're going to prove throughout these contracts with Atlanta and Tampa, through steady support teams, proactive outreach, preventative care, like the real world experience embedded in every layer of their care. I think care management, which folks who have complex needs, they need care coordination. They need somebody to help walk them through the process, right? And they're not getting that today.
Wow.
A lot of the different, areas of the government as a whole is kind of very siloed, right?
Yeah.
And that needs to get integrated. And it needs to be more about member experience and provider experience rather than this department's role versus this department's role versus, And so, over the next, 5 years, I really think like, this demo is a big stepping stone to a bigger, smarter, more integrated model of care, for all these folks. I think we're really working towards the future of TRICARE, and, federal healthcare as a whole. So.
Oh, wow. All this and more personally, though, that's the business side of healthcare. But personally, and from a Marine's perspective, are you going to stay in the reserves? Because I've met some people who've been in the reserves for 40 years. One person tried to get 50, but like, hey, you can't see anymore. I
I don't
mean.
think so. Yeah. No. The Marine Corps, we've got limits to that. I think they're gonna get rid of me here sooner or later. But I've got the I'm moving to a new command in January, a little bit closer to home. I think when that tour is coming to a close, that'll put me at about 25 years. And so I don't know. We'll see. If I'm still having fun and I'm staying, and I always love being around Marines. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing while I still do it. But I think if I'm still able to take care of Marines and have fun, doing it, then I'll stick around, as long as they'll have me. But yeah, I can't go past 30. That's the rule. So we'll see how it goes. I think my wife is ready for me to be done.
The Commandant. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Two questions. How can people find out more about CareSource, what you all do, and connect with you all if they meet the requirements for your, care?
Yeah, and I think the best way to do that is you can reach out to us at caresourcemilitary.com.
Okay.
So caresourcemilitary.com, and that'll take you to our main page where we're going to give you some more information about what we're doing and how we're doing it. There's a sign-up sheet there. So if folks want to learn more and want a conversation, they can give us their contact information. They can also give us a call. Let me pull the number up here. I should have it handy, but I don't, unfortunately. It is, oh shoot. I actually don't have it, but I can send it to you
I'll
to share out. Oh, I have it. It's 833-230-2080. So yeah, caresourcemilitary.com and then 833-230-2080. So that's the best way to get with us. So
Well, Ted, this is gonna, release after the Marine Corps birthday, and it's gonna be December when it releases. So I have two
awesome.
little final, one question, but two little final things is, we're 250 years old. Does it get any better than this as a Marine Sergeant Major?
I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I mean, this year has been pretty amazing. My squadron has been able to participate in several Marine weeks this week, providing, aircraft and being able to interact with the communities and the different cities across the country. I think the old adage, right, is that the country doesn't need us, but the country wants us.
Yeah.
And man, I see that more and more every day. And yeah, I mean, it's a great time to be a Marine, man. I mean, obviously a lot of turmoil in the world right now. A
Just
lot of things
slightly.
going on, but hey, we're doing our thing and we're holding fast and we're maintaining the standard. I think that's what it's all about. So
Okay, truly last thing, but you'll understand. You've been a first sergeant and then a sergeant major. You have to have some kind of funny Lance Corporal story that some Lance Cooley like myself did on the weekend too, and you're still years later like, I can't believe that Marine did that. Do you have any little vignette, little anecdote to share with us before we, move off to, Sergeant Major?
I probably have dozens of those stories. Probably none of them are fitting,
Oh,
or
darn.
something I can say, but and you because you probably know what I'm talking about. But yeah, man, I mean, I've so many of those stories. Man, you got me on the spot there.
Well, so what you're saying is there'll never be an end of E3s and E4s and below finding
Yeah.
ways to get in trouble or get,
No.
ahead
No.
of
You.
themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I can tell you, I'll tell you a couple stories about me,
Okay.
getting in trouble. 'Cause, we're none of us are free from sin, right? So I remember, being on 29 Palms there for comm school. This was, 2003,
Okay.
dating myself there. It was late. I think I was going to dental or something. And I was, running behind and I was on foot and I cut a corner across the general's lawn, which everyone knows you should not do that. But I was like, fingers crossed, nobody's gonna see me. Well, of course, the base sergeant major sues me, and so I get caught up in that. And next thing I'm cutting the grass with scissors. Yeah, on base there. So I've never forgotten that. And then 29 Palm still at comm school, that going on fire watch, and made a wisecrack to the sergeant coming off duty who had been up all night, which she did not like, clearly. And so the next thing you know, for the next, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours, I was covering and aligning rocks around the barracks. So got really good at that, oddly enough. But yeah, so typical Lance Corporal stuff. But man, yeah, I've got dozens of stories, man.
Well, hey, Tad, Sergeant Major, thank you for sharing with us. I really like these kind of stories because not everybody knows about TRICARE, and not everybody would understand what CareSource organization like yourselves do with TRICARE, with the government, with the VA, and for those serving and who have served. So I just want to thank you for coming on. You look pretty good for being 250 years old. And
Thank
thanks
you,
again.
brother.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Just, I hope folks just know that they've got a choice this year if you're in Atlanta and Tampa, and if that's what you want to do, then you got to take action, and we're ready to serve.
There you have it, folks. Again, I'll have all the links to CareSource in the Oscar Mike Radio show post. I want to thank you for joining us. As we say in Oscar Mike Radio, we are mission in flight. We'll see you next time.
The biggest fear Gold Star families have that their child will be forgotten.
We need to never forget freedom wasn't free.
It's the fact that they give us the life we have now. We should remember them and give thanks to them.
If I can be a part of something today that's going to make the surviving family of any of these veterans, these heroes, feel better tomorrow, then it's worth it.
That one wreath symbolizes one family that was able to smile because of the generous donations.
To sponsor a wreath and honor a veteran, visit wreathsacrossamerica.org.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.